West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads take me home to the place.
Son?
Yeah.
Right home.
To know Reverend Billy C. Turner meant you probably had heard his salvation story. In February of 1958, 2 weeks after his son Bobby was born, young Billy attended a prayer meeting hosted by his mother-in-law, Rachel, at her place in Mount Orb, Ohio. As Grandpa has stated, an evangelist named Perry Baker stood in the barn's doorway and preached about Jesus. Grandpa finally stopped running from Jesus and ran toward him that night. He knelt down to pray, and two women, whose names Grandpa never forgot, Sister Napier and Sister Stewart, prayed alongside him as Grandpa saw the light. Later, Grandpa felt the call into ministry. In fact, the song playing in the background is the song that was playing when he felt the call.
I count it on Jonah, but he was the same. I count it on Judas, but he proved untrue. So go tell the
Billy served in various capacities over the years in ministry, but he never forgot to share the gospel with his family. Here are a few of Billy's stories.
I got saved. There'd be guys come in, and they'd seemingly get saved and get the baptism before I did, and I'm still praying. I'm still seeking God, and I'm fasting. I'm thinking, God, what's the matter with me? You know, what's the matter with me? And they'd be shouting all the way. But then a few months down the road, they'd be out, but I'm still in there.
Yeah.
And, but there's two times in the Baptist church that God dealt with me like that. And I can remember this little guy, probably about 9 years old. I think it was about 9 years old. And there was three kids in that Sunday school class. And that teacher had my attention, brother. I sat on the front seat and could already keep them calm, but and other kids weren't paying attention, but she had my attention. But I never forgot that. But that Baptist church that night, God put a hook in my jaw. Never let go. And I had a reverent fear of God. Pardon me. God saved me, and that was the best thing that ever happened to me. I mean, if somebody had given me a $10 million, would have never did for me what the Lord did for me. After I got saved, why? Mary Catherine got saved, my sister, mom. Me and Brother Brown went to the hospital. Mom was laying there in the hallway. Talked to her about the Lord, and Robert, we prayed her through right there. And I believe she really got an experience with the Lord. But I didn't hesitate. I'd tell them about the Lord, all of them. If Francis and all, they knew when they come to my house what to expect. And so. Together, sure, super. I'm here. She was the girl I needed. She was a Pentecostal girl. She didn't go to church, but she didn't know what's right. But she was a good girl. I mean, she was the kind of girl I was looking for.
Get
ghosted and says, "Did I hear Mr. about the
Kindle splat at the library? The Kindle splat was flat."
Is that okay now?
Yeah.
And it's
yeah, no,
sure.
Get me a pop.
What do you want it at?
What's that Mountain Dew you brought back from Tennessee?
Which Mountain Dew do you want?
Yeah, give us some good old Mountain Dew.
Oh, Lord. Bill, questions?
That's right.
Questions?
He goes somewhere, he comes back, I ask him questions. I mean,
lots of questions.
You put up with that?
Yeah, she wants to know everything made to see. And sometimes I tell her, just leave me alone.
You know, this morning, Grandma was talking about her first date with you. And she said that on her first date, she actually wore a fake engagement ring because she wanted you to think that she was engaged.
Yeah, I know, but it didn't deter me any.
You were committed, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You saw that woman and you're going to have her.
Yeah. Well, I thought if she was going to try to pull anything on me, I'd get on her first.
Well, you want to expound upon that, Grandpa? Or?
Well, I thought if she would say these things, and I'd say, well, I'd, you know, act like I was
the king of the roost.
Yeah.
Grandma, you got any comments on that?
Yeah, he was a bad one. Even my boss called my mom up and said, you better make your daughter quit seeing that guy. He's no good.
What about you, Grandpa?
Yeah, I got a lot to be thankful for. I'm thankful that you got me.
First time I went driving was at the church parking lot with Grandpa, and he took me out there, and I didn't really know what I was doing, so I was just driving, and I ended up going 20 miles an hour in the parking lot, and he didn't tell me to stop, so we just kept going, and I went home, and I told my parents about it, and they were like, you did what? You drove 20 miles an hour in a parking lot, and I was like, yeah, I did.
So, some of my mom and dad's friends were over, and we were having a bonfire, and all the parents were outside sitting around the bonfire, and all the kids were inside, and Grandpa walks out and he sees all of us and he thinks there's a party going on, so he starts chasing us around the house, and then we told him to go outside to see that our parents are home, and he wouldn't because he thought we were locking him out of the house.
So I was playing Madden on my Xbox, and Grandpa comes in, and he thinks that a game is on, so I'm moving the controller and stuff, right? He's like, now don't mess up the game, and I had to, like, pause it real quick. He's like, get the game back on, and he just kept on doing that over and over again, and it was just funny.
One of my fond memories is of Grandma and Grandpa Turner, because Joe and I had broken up for a while when we were dating, and the two of them worked really hard to get us back together, took me out for lunch and all this stuff, encouraged me not to give up, and just a few weeks before Grandpa passed, he would still remind me, now remember, I helped you out, I helped you get back together. So it's just a fond memory I have of both Grandma and Grandpa Turner.
I've got one last thing to do, one more mile before I'm through, casting off these earthly chains, going where there's no more pain. I will make my way across the fields of cotton and wade through muddy water one last time. And in my dreams I come
out. Hello, everybody. Enjoy your Sunday.
Yeah. That's where the sun sets, where rainbows never die.
Good morning, everyone. We want to welcome you on this day where we have set aside some time to first celebrate, but also remember Reverend, Bishop, Pastor, Dad, Grandpa, Billy C. Turner, however you know him. And what a privilege to be here today. We're so grateful for the fond memories, and we hope that you've enjoyed the video. Thank you, Nick, for putting that together. It's very meaningful. It reflected the life of Billy. Showed you all the different aspects, or at least glimpses of who he was and who he is. And how wonderful is it to, as we reflect on him, to realize that he's not dead, but he is moved on to his eternal life because of his proclamation of faith in Jesus Christ. And what a blessed hope we have today. I want to open up with a word of prayer, and in honoring my grandpa, I'm going to start how he started every prayer he ever prayed. So if you'd bow your heads with me. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we are so grateful to have known this man. We thank you for putting him in our lives. We thank you for saving his soul and making him the man that he was. For without you, who knows what he would have been? But because of you, he has impacted each and every one of us that are here today, and so many more who cannot be here. And for that, Jesus, we give you praise. We give you the glory, and we give you the honor, for you are the one that deserves it. Now we ask you for a few moments of time as we celebrate and reflect, that Holy Spirit, you would bring comfort and peace to our hearts as we mourn and we grieve. And we know we do not mourn and grieve like those who have no hope. But God, we still have the grief in our hearts. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are our consolation in our time of need. And I pray that you would be that for us this day. I thank you for your peace that rests upon us right now. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace that enables us to move forward and carry on the legacy that Billy's left us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. This time we're going to have a song. Sister Betty and Sister Debbie would come.
The words are going to be up on the screen, and we would encourage you today to sing them with us. This is one of my favorite songs, and so let's sing it together.
Home of the blessed, make it easy. Good morning. I consider it a privilege and an honor to be here this morning and to speak on behalf of one of the coolest guys. I've reminisced multiple times over the last week or so. This brother and sister Turner, I was 13 years old when they became our district bishops, and they had the rare ability to love unconditionally, made you feel like family no matter who you were, no matter how old you were. And Sister Turner was always keeping an eye on me, making sure I was doing things right, especially at youth camps, which usually she had a full-time job with that. And but just so thankful for the privilege and the opportunity to speak and share this morning. And just again, want to, if you haven't had a chance to read the obituary, here it is, and it's a beauty just by itself. Reverend Billy C. Turner, 86, went to be with Jesus on April the 14th, 2024. He was preceded in death by his wife of 63 years, Julie McIntosh Turner, and his two sons, Bobby and Charlie. He is survived by his 10 grandkids, numerous great-grandkids, and two beautiful daughters-in-law, Karen and Marie. Many knew Billy by different names, including husband, dad, grandpa, uncle, brother, son, pastor, bishop, friend, leader, and reverend. Billy was a hard-working man. To know Billy meant you knew he was born in the hills of West Virginia near the town of Hinton. Never shy or ashamed of his origins, he routinely recounted his childhood experiences about the state of West Virginia. He was a self-professed hillbilly. Amen to that. In closing, around his late teenage years, he moved to the state of Ohio and eventually met a pretty young lady who captured his heart and kept old Bill in line. During this stage of his life, he settled down, got married, and had two boys. Additionally, Billy gave his heart to Jesus in February of 1958 and eventually felt the call into ministry. Billy never forgot the moment that he saw the light of Jesus, routinely told the story of when he forever embraced Jesus and was delivered of alcoholism. In closing, Billy was a true family man. He did everything he could for his family, whether it be construction project, helping them financially, or praying diligently for them. As a husband, he was committed, providing, loving, and conversational. As a dad, he raised two fine men who were family-oriented preachers of the gospel. And as a grandpa, he was goofy, as we've seen in these great videos put together this morning. Goofy, ornery, stern, gentle, strong, and everything in between. In closing, Billy pastored a few churches along the way. For about 20 years, he pastored here at Cary. And this church, Lighthouse PCG, is now pastored by his grandson, Joe, also Sister Alicia, which serves as a great example of Billy's legacy of ministry. Always had a shepherd's heart, outgoing personality, and a desire to help individuals to know the truth of God's word. In closing, Billy served in various capacities for the Ohio District Pentecostal Church of God, included as district bishop for 14 years, ordained minister with the PCG for over 50 years. He always had a heart for mentoring, helping, and working with local pastors and ministry. In closing, Billy was the same man you saw behind the pulpit and outside of it. He lived his life with integrity, godly character, exuberant passion. The older he got as a preacher, he was nicknamed Yosemite Sam due to his fiery disposition. And just a side note, you wondered how red his face could get. Multiple shades. Yosemite Sam, due to his fiery disposition when preaching and the fact that he turned red in the face when delivering a message. In closing, through the means of his obituary, Billy has had the chance to preach one final message about the love of Jesus. In true fashion, his sermon and obituary here has included several closings. If you are reading this and wondering if God's love is real or if you are uncertain about God's existence or goodness, Billy's life serves as a grand example of God's love and existence. God took the worst of people and changed his life forever. Today we remember Billy's example of servant leadership, Christian character, and heart of love. In Billy's final closing, Let's remember the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 10, 9, and 10. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Just a couple of side notes I want to provide. I'm a history guy, and I was sharing some with the family yesterday. In 1937, when Bishop Turner was born, just to give you some context of what we're talking about this man. But in 1937, when Bishop Turner was born, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president. Hitler was in power in Germany, and Stalin was in control over Russia. Amelia Earhart's plane disappeared in 1937. The first guard took his place among the tomb of the unknown soldier in the Arlington National Cemetery in Washington, D.C. in 1937. Actors Dustin Hoffman, Anthony Hopkins, Jack Nicholson, and Morgan Freeman, born in 1937. And here's a special one. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs were released. And for those of us that love food and candy, Smarties and Krispy Kreme brought into the American economy for the very first time. And I found this interesting, considering that we've just come from an eclipse here over the last couple of weeks. On June the 8th, actually the day Bishop Turner was born, there was a solar eclipse. And it exceeded 7 minutes of totality across the world for the first time, for that being that long, in over 800 years. Yeah. June the 8th was a special day. In 1937 in West Virginia, the average salary was a whopping $1,800. A new car was $800. Gas was 20 cents. And a ticket to watch The Prince and the Pauper would have been a quarter. In Hinton in 1937, the 6,000 people that were there were busy working railroads and the coal mines. And in that town, you could have bought a stamp for 3 cents. And you lived to be about 60 years old. Why do I share these facts? And this is really where I think the legacy that Bishop Turner left us is. I share these facts for one simple reason. Bishop Turner experienced a lot of changes in his life. During his lifetime, from 1937 in Hinton, West Virginia, to the 2000s and all the things that it would bring, we got to see him experience change. We got to see him experience tragedies. We got to see him experience difficulties in family. We got to watch him walk through trouble with his own health. But what we also got to witness was his faithfulness to point us to the one who never changes. His consistency to point us back to the cross. His consistency to point us back to the one who's always constant. The life is very uncertain. When I was thinking and praying about what to share this morning, it hit me yesterday, actually on the drive here to the viewing. And this is what the mark that he's left in my life that will never depart. Is I got to witness a man that had experienced all that life could take away. But I also witnessed a man that every time there was a chance given and an opportunity in a service to come and pray, you would find him walking towards the front and kneeling his life one more time down at an altar, one more time asking God for a fresh encounter of your presence that would give me the strength to stand and the hope to keep going. And I'm so thankful today to have been around him, been around hearing his prayers and being encouraged even as he had gotten older and experienced all that life had to offer, still praying with the same fervency, still praying with the firm passion that he always had, that the circumstances did not change his heart towards a father. And he continued to point us in that direction. And I'm so thankful that he pointed us there. And that's what we leave this place today knowing. Not just his life, but where he pointed us and the direction that he pointed us. And I'm so thankful for that opportunity this morning to know that the same God that walked with Bishop Turner through life's heartaches, difficulties, troubles, tragedies, tears, pain, disappointments, the same God that walked with him is the same God that will walk with you. And so I say this in closing. Thank you, Bishop Turner, for a life well lived. Thank you for a model well set. And thank you for loving us unconditionally. Thank you, and God bless you.
Mistake through sunshine and rain, laughter and
Isn't it good to know that God is in control? Even when it doesn't look like it or seem like it through our earthly eyes, God is taking care of things in His way, and we can trust Him. I want to share a few things before I go into the eulogy. There was three things that we were praying for as a family. Verse one was that Grandpa would not get to the place where he didn't know us, because he dealt with two forms of dementia, Alzheimer's and vascular dementia. And so we were praying, God, don't let him get so far gone where he doesn't know his family, because his family was so important to him. And God answered that prayer. Second thing, we prayed, God, let him stay with us. Don't let him get so bad where we have to put him in some facility because of our busy schedules and all the things going on. I was concerned that we wouldn't be able to go see him like he deserved. God answered our prayer. And the third one, say, God, let him go peaceful. Give him the desire of his heart. He said, I just want to go to sleep and then go on and be with Jesus. Last Sunday, while he was sleeping in his bed, he made that final journey peacefully. So peacefully that the family that had gathered together didn't even know that he had slipped off with Jesus. We walked into the room and thought, I went, oh, he's gone. He's not there anymore. You can just sense that. God never makes a mistake. God's faithful. And even when you can sit there and think, God, you know, he's been through so much already. Now he's fighting this. The faithfulness of God was still present in his life, even through the things that he faced. There was a man who stopped by and had to leave. I don't even remember his name. I think it's the first time I met him. But he said he wanted to stop by because Grandpa had impacted his life, went to church with him there at House of Prayer in Kenton. And the statement he said is, you know, Grandpa would say, I don't understand why the Lord took my boys before me, but it's never shook my faith in him. And that is a true statement in his life. What he showed in everything that he did, he had faith in Jesus. And so I just want to share a little bit about him this morning before I go into message, and I plan on not being very long, but you know how well intentions are, good intentions are. So I'll do my best, because there's so much to share about this man. So much to share. And I'm going to try to just give you the highlights. But the best way I could think to eulogize my grandpa is he was my hero. Ever since I was a little kid, I wanted to grow up and be like Billy Turner. I loved my dad, and I respected my dad, and I honored my dad, and loved him dearly. But because what I saw in my father's eyes as he looked at his father, it made something move in my heart. And I thought, that man right there, if I could walk after him and follow in his footsteps, I know I'm going to be okay. Because I watched his character. I watched his integrity. I watched his dedication to everything that he did. When Bill Turner gave you his word he was going to do something, you got all of Bill Turner. You didn't get just a portion of him. He didn't halfway do anything. Now, he might have hillbilly rigged it, because that's what he was. But he was going to give you everything that he had. And the scripture came to mind as I was thinking about him. As Paul declared in scripture, follow me as I follow Christ. And what was so funny about him is he probably wouldn't have liked to make that statement because he would have felt like it was a little too arrogant. But the truth is he left us a legacy, not just our family, but everyone that knew him, that if you followed him, you knew you were following Christ. He was a shepherd. He had the heart of a shepherd, and he was my hero. The definition of a hero is this: a person who is admired for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. Now, there was a word in there I took out that said that you idolize, and one thing that he taught us is you don't idolize anybody. Jesus is your Savior. No man can be your Savior. Only Jesus can be. But I did see him as a person that I admired greatly. And these three qualities I found in him: that he was courageous, he had outstanding achievements, maybe by others they wouldn't think so, but if you knew him, a man with an eighth grade education, a man who, many of you know all of his sayings he had, he would say, "We were so poor, the poor called us poor." Man who came from nothing. If you knew his story, you know he had outstanding achievements and he had noble qualities. And so the scripture that came to mind, because one thing that he taught us was to read the word and know the word and be in the word. And so whenever I think about anybody, I'm always pointed to the Bible. And this scripture came to my mind. It says, "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." And I would say that this scripture epitomizes Billy Turner. First of all, he was strong. He tackled every life's challenge with all that he had. He was so strong that the day he died, the nurse was in, a male nurse, not a small man, didn't look weak. He was trying to roll Grandpa over to help him because Grandpa was at the point he couldn't do anything himself. And Grandpa takes his arm because the nurse had a hold of it and shoved his arm back like this. And the nurse goes forward. Like, and he goes, "Man, he's strong." I said, "Yes, he is strong." He was always strong, more than just physical strength. There were many of you that worked with him and saw his physical strength and ability. Even as he got older, there were things he was able to do that people say old men shouldn't be able to do, but this man could do it. But there was an intestinal fortitude he had inside of him that through life, no matter what came at him, he was strong. And I'll tell you this, that came from his trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say that he was courageous. He faced his fears. And although it was hard to see, because he was so good at masking it, he had fears. There were things that he was unsure of. Sometimes there were some insecurities he dealt with within his own life. One expression he had often that he would tell people and would go around, and what I love about it is the gifts of God are without repentance, right? That's what the scripture says. So the gift of the pastorate was still in him, even to his last Sunday, not the Sunday he died, but he made it the previous Sunday. And he would light up as soon as he walked into this building and he saw the people of God. He would go shake people's hands and love on them because that gift was in him. And even though he dealt with memory issues, that would just spark in him by the Holy Spirit, and that gift would come forth. And he had this saying he liked to tell people. He'd come up and he'd say, "Turner's the name." If you ever shook his hand in a service, you probably heard that. "Turner's the name." And really what probably many of you don't realize is that stemmed from a place of insecurity. It was a place of fear in him that every time he shook somebody's hand and he declared who he was. He was being courageous because, you see, he really didn't know who his dad was. He didn't really know his last name. He was just taking the name he had been given, and he was taking the proverb and he was saying, God, help me to make this name honorable by your power and by your strength, because there's a day that it wasn't honorable. There was a day in his life that he wrestled with even later in years. He wrestled with the fact, he said, I never had a father and never knew who my dad was, but he had a heavenly father. And courageously, he took a hold of his heavenly father and he allowed God to teach him how to be what I would say, and I would argue with you all day long, the greatest father that the world has ever seen. That's why I tell people, don't make excuses. Don't sit there and say, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. But be strong and courageous. And get a hold of God and let God teach you how to be the man or woman you need to be. Because that's what he did. And the last thing is, he lived according to the word of God. He never backed down from the word of God. He never backed away from his convictions. He held fast to his profession of faith without wavering. He didn't turn to the left or the right, but he walked solidly on the foundation of the word of God. So I was sharing with some friends, Brother Randy said that he had come and take him out to eat the last time. He was really repeating himself a lot, but he said, when you started talking about the word, it just come out of him. Because he had based his life upon the Bible. And he would teach us, hold fast to that word. The word of God that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That if we hide it in our heart, we won't sin against God. That a word of God that will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish what he sent it to do. The word of God that is sharper than a two-edged sword, that will divide even the soul and the spirit and minister to people's hearts. The word of God that is alive and will quicken a person. I remember Dave Stumball sitting in the back and he told me, he's been a funeral director in this area for many, many years. And he said, I love to listen to your grandpa pray, because he would pray the word. He would pray the scriptures. The word of God was his foundation. And that is why I tell you, he was my hero. And to me, this is the epitome of who he was, Joshua 1:1-7. Strong and courageous. And he was careful to hold the word of God carefully. You know, there was lots of things he liked to cut up. He liked to laugh. He liked to have a lot of fun. But when he stepped into the pulpit to minister, he was very cautious that he didn't allow himself to go too far, because he carefully handled the word of God. And when he ministered it, he wanted God to have his way. And for that, we love and respect him. And I want to say this, that in my first closing, that not only did he have a heart of a shepherd or a pastor, but I believe that Romans chapter 12 shows us gifts that we're born with, God-given gifts. And he had the heart of a servant. He just wanted to serve. Just wanted to help. And even as a boy, he would tell me stories of his older brother. He would want to be running around with all the guys in town and hitting and having himself a good time. And his brother would say, don't you need to get some chores done at home, Billy? And he said, man, that made me so mad, because I just wanted to hang out. But I think he also knew in his heart that there was responsibility that he wouldn't let go. And he would tell us how much his mom counted on him. He'd tell us story after story of how he would work, not for any money, but just so that the household can continue on. See, they heated with wood, they cooked with wood, they washed with wood, because they had to heat the water with wood. So he would go out as a young boy No matter what the weather was, and he'd chop down trees and cut up wood and make it ready so that they could do the wash. He said he hated wash day. You guys know what I'm talking about. How many times he'd tell, oh, I hated wash day. Because he had to cut extra wood that day. He'd make sure there was a fire going. He was a servant. It was birthed in him to serve. So much so that the last words that he said to me was this. He's laying in bed. He'd been laying in bed for a few days now. I just give him some more medicine, trying to take care of him. And he said, now, Joe, if there's anything, I don't know if he said Joe, but he said, if there's anything you need for me to do for you, you just let me know. And I thought to myself, Grandpa, you haven't got out of bed for 3 days. What are you going to do for me? That was in him. Even while he was on his deathbed. There are people here that can share stories with you that wasn't just church work. It wasn't just for their church. It wasn't just because they went to church. Some of you didn't even go to church where he pastored. But he went to your homes when you needed him. And he helped you fix things up and repair things because he was a servant. And so the message that I want to preach to you today is about that. And I have a unique experience. I don't know that anybody can say they've ever had this happen. But my dad assumed he would be standing here today. And one day, I believe it was because of God, he had a conversation with me. And he told me, you know, when your grandpa passes, I know what I'm going to preach. And he began to share just a little bit about the message that he felt like needed to be preached today. And I believe that was God, because God knew he wouldn't be here. And so he imparted that to me. And so I'm going to share that with you today. And it's about serving Jesus. Grandpa's life's ambition can be summed up in two words and one statement. Serve Jesus. Serve Jesus. See, he went to your house. He went to your churches. He worked hard. Not just because he wanted to serve you, but because he was serving Jesus. Do all you do as unto the Lord. And this is the scripture that my dad shared with me that I'm going to share with you. It's found in Acts chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 36 through 39. It says this. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on a sleep and was laid into his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. You see, my grandpa was a servant, and I'm here to tell you that if you don't already realize this, many of you do, I would tell you that he served his own generation by the will of God. And he served his generation well. And he also had enough wisdom and knowledge to understand that when that time came of service that was up, he was willing to say, okay, now I'll pass the torch and let someone carry the torch for their generation. And one of the things that he found pleasure in is sitting back and watching the fruits of his labor. He liked to watch the ministers that he invested in grow personally, grow their congregations, and do well. He found joy in that because he served his own generation by the will of God. And he did that because he was a servant at heart. The Bible says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And skipping down a few verses, it says this, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, if serve in our service. And according to the will of God, our grandfather served his generation and served his generation well by preaching the gospel, by proclaiming the gospel. Now, we don't do it the same way. We preach the same gospel, but we do things a little differently than what he used to. And I even use this as an example. One time I used to play drums in church and I pointed out the cymbals and how I played the cymbals differently than my grandfather played the cymbals, because he just had two pairs of cymbals. And as they were singing Working the Road, I saw in my mind's eye him playing them cymbals and sing that song. And when he'd start feeling the power of God, he'd get down like this and then he'd rear back like this. The presence of God would begin to flow. And I remember in that church building over there, people standing up and shouting, praising God as he was singing, that he was working the road. What was he saying? I'm doing the will of my Father. I'm serving people as I serve God. And my whole goal is that if I come across bumps in the road and hardships, I want to smooth them out and make them easier for those who come behind us. We stand on the shoulders of this great man today. This building exists because of his labors. In 1951, this church became a Pentecostal church of God, full-blown Pentecostal church of God. Wasn't just affiliated with them anymore, but became registered with them. And in 1971, my grandpa came here. That means that this church existed 20 years before he showed up in the Pentecostal church of God. I don't say this a lot because sometimes people think, well, you're just trying to toot your own horn and you think you're something and whatever, and you guys can take it any way you want today. I don't care. I really don't, because today is the day to honor this man. So for 20 years, and I know the church existed a little bit longer than that, it was around, and I'm not putting any other pastors down. Don't take that. They're Sam Stone. He started this church. I'm so grateful for him and all the pastors that followed him. But in 1971, Bill Turner came here to pastor, and he pastored and served here for 20 years, and his son, Bobby Turner, followed his footsteps and pastored here for 21 years. And now I've been here for 11 years. In Lighthouse PCG, you've been stuck with a Turner longer than you have with any other pastorate, because only 20 years before then did you not have a Turner pastoring this church. What a legacy. I remember the day where we celebrated that he had been here in this area for 50 years serving this congregation. And I know that he wasn't the pastor the whole time, but when he was bishop, he would come here and oversee this church. And after that, he would come and visit. And I love it because many of you, some of you still knew him as bishop and referred to him as such. Some of you called him Brother Turner because he was your pastor. But many of you that didn't have him as a pastor and didn't have him as a bishop, you called him Grandpa. And I loved it. And guess what? So did he. He was never offended by people calling him Grandpa. He wasn't. He took it as an honor and a privilege to say, yes, I'm Grandpa. My grandson's pastors this church, and I'm here as Grandpa. And I've been established in this community so long now that I'm the Grandpa. But I'll be that father figure to you. You see, he was a servant serving. And I would be remiss if I stuck on him and only talked about him. But what I want to transition to at this moment is this. Is that he served and done so well because he was pointing us to Jesus Christ. He wanted us to serve Jesus above all things. And so he served his generation by the will of God. He preached an uncompromised gospel so that we could know what it was. He witnessed the power of the Holy Spirit to all he knew. He preached the justification by faith in Jesus alone. He was dedicated unto God, and he lived a holy life. Holiness was key to him. He preached holiness. He believed in holiness and he lived holiness. He knew what God had saved him from and he wanted other people to receive that salvation. See, the real message is not Billy C. Turner today, but it's Jesus. Jesus rescued him in Mount Orb, Ohio. Sister Napier and Sister Stewart knelt beside him, and those women of God probably weren't going to let him up until he prayed through. But I'm going to tell you something. That day, that man made a commitment. And like I've already told you, when he made a commitment, he made a commitment. He didn't turn back from it. He didn't turn away from it. And he knew that God got a hold of him that day, and he witnessed to us many times when he was a boy. Different times he visited churches, and his mom was never a churchgoer, but every time he went, he could sense the presence of God. He even recalled to us a time where the pastor walked by and put his hand on his head. You remember that? He said, "God bless you, son." He said, "I felt something. Even though I didn't know what it was, I felt something." And in that moment in Mount Orb, Ohio, at Grandma Rachel's place, he made that commitment that forever changed his life. You see, the story today is not the story of Billy Turner. The story today is the good old story of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here today. Because of Jesus and what he has done. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. Jesus will rescue us from everything. It's not just Billy's story. It's all of our stories. That it was his story that has forever changed us and made us brand new. And I'm going to encourage you, if you do not know Jesus, if you don't know him personally, today is the day of salvation. I'm not going to do an altar call and anything like that because you don't need that. All you need to do is repent of your sins and turn unto God and receive him as your personal Savior. And he will forever change your life. See, this is the gospel that he preached because this is the gospel he experienced and he knew that it had forever changed him and he wanted it to change other people. And so this is his legacy. It's the story of redemption and grace and mercy and power in the name of Jesus. And this is our story when we come to Jesus. It's that simple. He redeems everyone. A young man who had nothing, who had to leave school and go to work because he was raised by a single mom with a bunch of kids. He would earn and get half the pay compared to the men that he worked with cutting timber in the hills of West Virginia. He could pull a cross-cut saw just as good as any man. I'm sure you've heard that one before. 12, 13-year-old boy, working, laboring hard. Didn't know anything, didn't have a dad, and so they introduced him to moonshine. Started drinking moonshine as a teenage boy. By the age of 20, he realized he was an alcoholic. And I heard his testimony so many times. He said he lived there, and I believe it was South Lebanon where they lived, and he would hear the live music up at the saloon. And he would tell himself on Friday, "I'm not going to go up there because I'm not going to spend my paycheck this week because, you know, I got a family now. I have a wife and I got a baby on the way or a baby that had just been born and I'm not going to go." But he said, I kept hearing that music and it kept calling me and there was something in me that needed to change. And before I knew it, I would go up there and I had blew my whole paycheck drinking alcohol and getting drunk. And I'd go work another week and blow my whole paycheck. And it wasn't until that moment when he went to that prayer meeting at Grandma Rachel's house that Jesus forever changed his life. The desire was taken from him. Oh, was he tempted at times? He was tempted. But he now possessed the power by the Holy Spirit to overcome that temptation. Jesus forever changed his life and the trajectory of his life. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say this bold statement that every one of you are here today because of what Jesus did at that moment for him. That's why you're here. Because he impacted your life for the cause of Christ. See, this is the great story that we have. And this is the great hope that we have.
And we do not sorrow or grieve like those without hope, but we have a hope in the precious name of Jesus that He said, when you pass where I am, there you will be also. And I am so thankful and grateful for that. I'm thankful for the story of my grandfather. I'm thankful that he was my hero. Thankful that I got to follow in his footsteps. My prayer is if I could just be half the man he was, I think I'll be doing okay. But more than that, I'm thankful that he led me. Even when I needed it, he would take my hand and say, come on, let's go to Jesus, Joe. Let's go to Jesus. He had a saying, and I say it often even as I'm preaching here. He said, there's nothing like getting saved all over again. See, sometimes we think, oh, we've said that repentive prayer and we're good with God. I'll tell you what, he liked to pray through all the time. And I think we need to be more like that. Sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of the goodness and the grace of God and just repent all over again. Say, God, I'm sorry for all the wrong that I've done. Please forgive me. Come into my life. Refresh my soul and my spirit that I may walk earnestly with you. I love you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I heard him call that name out so many times. I love you, Jesus, is what he would say. The power of God would begin to move as he would call out to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I can't help but to encourage you today, get saved all over again. Keep walking with Jesus every day of your life because it will totally transform you and change you. The ladies are going to come and sing one more song. This is my final closing. But I believe that this was his heart's prayer. He would sing this song often in church, and I learned it because it ministered to me, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that we would get to come together and we would get to sing this song together. I probably can't get through it today, so they're going to sing it for us.
People steal, they cheat and lie.
And to live in this world in a
thankful for the legacy of Jesus he left us.
I had not planned on saying anything, but as I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit just kept moving within me. And I was thinking how blessed we are to have people who have worked the road before us. But what are we going to do with it when they're gone?
Yeah.
Because if we don't step up, family,
yeah.
If we don't pick up the tools and continue to work the road, it's just going to get grown over, and their work was in vain. But we have an opportunity now, and many of you have people who have poured into your life. And my question is, what are you doing about it? Are you continuing the legacy, or are you letting it grow cold? And so my choice is, I'm going to work the road.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep serving Jesus. Amen. I'm going to make the way easier for someone coming behind me,
yeah.
Because someone did it for me. And so let's all purpose that in our heart. That we're going to be busy about our Father's business as well.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, darling. She pretty much summed up everything I was going to say. So I want to end with the benediction of this. I felt like it was fitting for Grandpa and for us in this situation. He says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." If you'd bow your heads with me, let's be dismissed. Father, we just thank you so much for the impact and legacy that Grandpa has left us. And God, we pray for the strength in the days ahead to carry it on. When we find those bumps in the road, teach us how to smooth them out as we have learned from him, but we continue to learn from you, Lord. For you are our Lord and our Savior, and we follow you first and foremost. I thank you for the stirring of the Holy Spirit that's moving in the hearts and lives of these people. I pray that they will carry this with them, and they'll never forget that you're dealing with them, and that we can walk and live with you, and you will forever change our lives. I thank you for your peace that passes our understanding, that's being shed abroad in our hearts and minds and keeping us as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I thank you, Lord, that you're our consolation. I thank you that you give us grace to move forward. God, we do that in your grace and in your love. I pray a blessing upon everyone here. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.